You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Tuesday, it's the double-headed dream team of David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, in Melrose Arch to be precise, and also Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. Gentlemen, in particular you, David, I was talking to Nick this morning on the opening, and I was saying, you know, here it is. It's the 4th of August. The market's sort of drifting along. We've got an election coming up in 3 to 4 months' time. And I don't know, it just seems to me that this people are sort of sitting down and having a little bit of a break ahead of what is going to be a tumultuous end of year. I mean, if we think the first 6 months have been bad, the next 6 months will be doubly bad or doubly good. We don't know. What do you think, David?
I'm battling with it. At the moment, it's holding very strong. And every day that I expect some kind of sell-off to take place, particularly in the heady American markets, nothing happens. All that it does is consolidate its position even further. And, you know, you're waiting for that shoe to drop or something to happen, and yet it's not happening. And even as we talk now, the markets are pretty solid.
Yes.
You know, we can give all kinds of explanations, whether it's the stimulus program. You know what, Lindsay? You know what's nagging me? And I'm saying, hold on a sec. Maybe this virus is, I don't want to say burning itself out, because it doesn't burn itself out. It's always there. But maybe society is learning to handle it. Something's happening, which is starting to see infection rates perhaps stabilize, steady. People are getting a little more confident. Something's happening there that I can't quite get my head on, you know. So it might be that things are improving. So I'm vigilant. As I say, I always say I'm driving, you know, I'm not driving with my GPS. I'm watching every and a kilometer of the road. I'm watching every pothole. I'm looking at everything on the roads ahead, you know, not prepared to put my foot on the pedal and just speed ahead. So, but there's something happening which is actually on the positive side.
Okay, do you agree with that, Nick?
I don't know how the other traders feel.
No, I tend to agree with that. I mean, we all know this being in the market for a long time that often there's something called sort of sentiment that I think far outweighs fundamentals or any other sort of economic data. You know, if people are feeling good, they're going to spend money. If they're not, they're not going to spend money. And I just get this, the last, I'm not talking about South Africa, I'm just talking about the market. You know, we used to talk about how you get the feel of a tape back in the day. It feels like the market, it is almost setting itself up for some good news. It's once again, it's starting to slowly ignore the sort of the bad news and concentrating more on the better news. These ISM sort of manufacturing data that's been coming out, although off a very low base, has been better. There have been some good numbers out. Nice numbers out of China this morning too. Yeah. And you've seen the numbers maybe brush aside and make the I don't know, COVID lockdown fatigue or something, and we're looking for an excuse to rally. And I just, that's why I'm so cautious. I've got a few clients waiting for this infamous pullback that doesn't seem to happen. And in the back of my mind, I'm just thinking, if we get some good news of a stage 4 vaccine or something positive, then I think we might even retest the old highs. So I think the sentiment, and I agree, is almost it's almost looking for an excuse, a good news rally for now.
Well, I hope so. But anyway, let's look at before we. You know, sorry, go on before I go to the forward. The no, SENS no, announcements.
Why I'm saying this, taking it forward. I mean, if you think about where we are with your favorite man, Carrot Top Trump. I mean, seriously, he couldn't be doing anything worse. He's just, you know, trying every kind of angle to anger China. I mean, the latest TikTok episode, and I'm saying, hold on a sec.
Why does he do it? I don't understand why.
I don't know, but
I'm counterproductive, saying, but anyway, go on.
Totally. But that's what I'm trying to say. He's doing everything to destroy the world, to destroy America. And yet America's saying, you know what, let's just move on. And that's why I'm saying, when that happens, you know, every time he gets up and does something, I get worried and the market just brushes it aside and goes better. I'm saying, okay, fine. You know, I can take that, but that's what we're living through and that's what we're ignoring. So, and even the standoff between the Democrats and Republicans, I mean, they've got no intention. They've got no, regard for the American people. they're just regarding their own political stance. And I'm saying, for God's sake, do something. The poor American people, I mean, they're out there. They didn't ask for this. You put them into the situation, and now you've got to haggle. And yet the market just brushes
it aside. You know what I'm going to say, gents? Mm. What I always say. Trade what's in front of you, not what you think. Okay. Perfect example right now.
Well,
the markets are going up. Don't fight it.
It's a neat segue towards my Tuesday trade, because at the moment I've just written it down. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to get my piece of paper here, my piece of paper of shame. I am short the bond market in South Africa, which has suddenly become a little bit more profitable than it was. I'm short the NASDAQ, which need not detain us. I'm very, very close to stopping myself out. I'm short of Facebook, and by the same token, I'm also very, very close to stopping myself out. And the VIX, I'm long of the VIX. Where's the VIX, please, Nick Kunze?
It is just loading up on my screen now, so make other conversations.
Okay, we will do. But the NASDAQ is above 11,000, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
The gold price is, goodness me, look at the gold price, David. 1996, the gold price, up $18 an ounce.
David is like the soothsayer. That article you put out was
please. Nobel. It's nothing to do with the article. He couldn't think of anything else to write about. I mean, come on now. He hates gold. Nicky hates gold. He hates gold.
Yeah, anyway, the VIX
got a psychological problem with gold. We know that.
The VIX is 23.84%. So it's down 1.8%. So this is back near the lows.
I'm 3% down on that one. But anyway, what I need from you two for my Tuesday trade, as the gold price goes to 1997.5, I need something that's defensive. Because I do believe that still my NASDAQ position, my Facebook position, my VIX position, and my bond position will do very, very well. So I'm putting in more money into my account, but I need a defensive position, please, just to sort of redress the balance on my scales of investment.
You know what? Okay.
Go on, David.
You know what I think is going to happen?
Yes.
And I'm going along with the view that things want to improve. You know, not that they want to go down. Not that they want to improve, just follow the trend. You're going to see rotation. And sooner or later, some of the stocks that have lagged will probably go up.
Okay, so give me one, please. So, I need a defensive stock.
I would say, I'm talking an American stock. I don't know what it's going to be, but I've got to find the one that I don't like. That would be the one that's going to go up. So Nick, help me in this respect. I don't know what your view is.
Okay, I'll lean towards the American route as well. So if you're looking at sort of that sort of route of, at some point you're going to get a rotation on these half buying tech names. I'll take a look at some of the banks. I think Wells Fargo, not about 50% year to date. It's not the best of all the banks, but it's listed in JP Morgan. Gives you a dividend yield of 7% dividend yield if you own Wells Fargo. JP Morgan as well. So I think some of these US banks, I think, start to look quite interesting. I quite like, if you like the defensive play, and if you pardon the pun, Lockheed Martin, stock code is LMT, with more sort of rhetoric being out about defense spending and all the rest of it. That's another one to look at. So that's the space
energy
I'd look at.
How about energy stocks, which have been totally
cheap, eh? No, they're very cheap.
I mean, they totally
look at BP,
wiped out.
Look at BP today. Well, BP came out today and cancelled half their dividend. So they've got big cash flow problems. I would lean more towards that space.
Okay.
Banks,
sure.
Yeah, you know, so the banks, which have been really beaten down, and you can understand why with what interest rates are down in America, et cetera. But, you know, they still make money over there, and the American economy is going to keep on ticking over. And if you're picking up something, as I said, like a Wells Fargo, which is down over 60% from its high, and it's giving you a dividend yield of 8%. Worst case scenario, you get 8% and it goes nowhere. So I'll say, let's have a look at that. Well, even though I think it was out tonight as well, gents, it's also quite defensive.
Go on then.
Is Disney. Disney's also out. Mm. And it's also sold off quite a lot recently. Because obviously they've shut their theme parks and all the rest of it. But their Disney Plus, their streaming business, does it right. So there's three for you to think about.
No,
very different.
I don't like any of your suggestions, I must admit.
Okay.
Let's go then to Defensive South Africa. Pick and Pay came out with their results today, or rather their earnings update. David, the share price down 5%.
Mm.
When was the last time you went to a Pick and Pay shop?
I don't know. I'm a Woolies person because it's just down the road. I don't mind Pick and Pay. I like the new Checkers here, so I haven't been to Pick and Pay.
No, I'm the same.
So you've been to Checkers, you like Checkers, you've been to Woolies, but you haven't been to Pick and Pay.
Yeah.
Okay. Nick Kunz, Pick and Pay.
Yeah, same. I mean, I thought those ShopRite numbers yesterday were trading up there was outstanding. I could not believe how many months in a row they've been taking market share. They've been eating Pick and Pay's lunch.
Yeah,
yes. And then you saw what Pick and Pay's numbers were like today as well. So, and I'm with David on this one. I didn't do it. I said to Lindsay I'd do it yesterday, David. A whole lot of colleagues are telling me they're using that 60-60 Checkers app.
Yeah.
Pay $35 and get your food delivered within an hour. It is outstanding. I haven't heard one person say a bad word about it, but obviously it's just Gauteng and some parts of Western Cape for now. But compare those two. I wouldn't even look at Pick and Pay. I'd lean back towards Checkers Shop.
I agree.
Okay, so I want to go defensive. I want to go South African. I don't want to go to Disney or Lockheed or Boeing
or
anyone else.
Lindsay, what about BTI? That's sold off quite aggressively, and it's a very defensive share. It's off $300 from where it was.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've got an ethical problem with that.
Got a hard audience here.
Go on, David.
Tough audience.
You want to go
local.
I want to go local defensive. Just
Alan Gray have been shining on about how cheap banks are, and I think they've been accumulating quite a lot.
Is cheaper than speech on the Rubicon, and that's a fact.
You know what? The only thing is that I looked at the charts, and they're doing that double dip again. I think I saw the double dip in banks, in property, and in retailers. In other words, when I say the double dip, I mean they went down in March, recovered, and going back down again, you know, and that recovery sucked us in, but I don't know whether it's holding.
Can I give you another outlier? Local. Okay. Multi-choice.
Oh, that's a good company. Yeah.
Very cash generative. Nice. Just done that partnership with, they can't beat Netflix and Amazon Prime at their own games, so they decided to partner with them.
Yeah.
So they're going to stream their stuff onto their desktops through the dish. It's a very unique setup because it's on a fiber in Africa. Quite defensive, annuity income, not expensive. Trading at 106 Rand. I think the thing's probably worth closer to 120. There's one for you.
What do you think, David?
That's not a bad one. That's a good.
Okay.
The only trouble is that it's defensive. I don't know whether it's going to run. You want something that's going to push.
I just want something that's going to not lose its value. I'm here to preserve capital rather than gain.
You're okay.
Am I okay with that one?
Yeah, definitely.
So multi-choice, yeah?
Definitely, yeah.
Multi-choice, 106.14, closed it.
Yeah.
106, okay, I'm buying it. That's it. I'm buying multi-choice. Thank you very much, gentlemen. The spot prices look like this today. Ooh, the rand it's off its worst, but it's still 17.39 against the US dollar. It's 22.71 against the British pound, and the euro rand is, 20.46, and the euro dollar, I had a shiver there. Euro dollar is 117.70, which is more or less unchanged. The gold price, 1993, up $16 an ounce. It will be 2,000 probably by the end of the week. The platinum price is up 12 to $933 an ounce. Where's palladium, please, Nick?
Also having a run, 1.5% firmer, $30, 2,120 per ounce.
Okay, and if we have a look at the oil price, in fact, I haven't got it on my screen. Give me the oil price, please, Nick. West Texas and also Brent.
Yeah, also in line with the rest of the commodities, West Texas having a good day, 1.22% higher, $41.50 per barrel. And then the more tradable Brent, that's up 0.5% now at $44.36 per barrel.
Look at that one. The Dow Jones is up 0.4% to 26,770 odd. The Nasdaq is what is the Nasdaq doing? Actually, you give me the live prices again, Nick. Over to you.
So the Nasdaq, so you've just mentioned that the S&P futures are a little bit in the red, up 4 points, 0.12%. Dow Jones is the better one, so maybe they're tying in with that defensive theme you're talking about, a bit of rotation there.
Yeah.
Dow Jones up almost 0.5%, 116 points. And then the Nasdaq is the actual lagger. It's just in the green, very slightly.
Thank goodness for my position. On the upside on the JSE today, 7.5% up for Royal Bafokeng Platinum, Bidvest up 6.2%, DRD Gold up 5.75%, Italtal up 5%, and Telkom up nearly 5% as well. On the downside, Pick and Pay, we spoke about them, down 5.5%, let's call it. RCL Foods down 2.6%, Sappi down 1.75%, Clicks down 1.5%, and Distill down 1.3%. Outside of that, anything you've seen today, gentlemen? Cashbuild, maybe.
I'm just looking at Fortress, which is property stock, which was headed the downers yesterday, and down again another 8%. So you're getting that fall in property stocks again, and I think the bad news is now starting to grip that sector once more. It did try and recover, but I think as long as long bonds remain where they are at the moment, I think it's going to be very hard in these circumstances for property stocks to come up. And, you know, we tend to overlook this, but I follow it simply as a, you know, because so many people like to buy property stocks for yield, but and I'm waiting to find the bottom, and I'm waiting for evidence, you know, to try and find the bottom, but nothing at the moment.
Okay, Nick, anything outside of what I just said?
No, I just want to add also, if you're talking about the long bond, you know, 10-year note at the moment, 9.335, which is, I think, where you literally put the trade on. I mean, it's literally gone up and down and sideways. But I actually put a tweet out earlier that the disparity between what our Rand dollars and our currency's been doing relative to what our yields have been doing. And I think we had this conversation a week or two ago, like, which one do you believe? But that correlation's like really fallen apart now. It seems to be much more aggressive selling in our currency. And up until today, I thought it was just a Rand story. But then, you know, today, Russian ruble, Mexican peso, a few others are also on the back foot. But for some particular reason, maybe it's that carry trade, hey, David, alive and well still, I suppose, to a certain extent, on our tenure compared to the currencies.
No, I think so. I think Lindsay's... I'm not sure Lindsay's going to be right, that, you know, against that.
You're not the first person to say that, by the way.
You know why? Because exactly of, you know, what's Nick saying at the moment, it's holding. It's showing kind of minor weakness. I watch the yield curve every day. I'm waiting for the information to come through from Ashley Dickinson. You know, he monitors from the stock exchange the whole curve, and I like to watch what it's doing. And I've seen the top end coming, you know, picking up a little bit, yields picking up, but it's very small points. You know, it's very, very small.
But isn't this
against what Nick says? You know, against a massive depreciation in the Rand.
Rand's gone almost a full Rand in the same period, and our notes have hardly moved. So, I mean, an ironic sort of way, given what with IMF lending us money and all the rest of it, and our payback and our cost to borrow, ironic, it's actually holding quite nicely on the yield side anyway.
So I would like to, you know, I would go bull of that if I would go long. In fact, I'm telling people to go long at the top end there at 20-year. It doesn't bother me. But if I can get 11.4, I don't know what the clean yield is, call it 11. If I can get 11 and just park my money there, even paying full tax, you're still okay.
Even people who are not like massively financially savvy, you know, we talk about the real yield, you know, obviously your cost of inflation, where interest rates are. And we all know in South Africa now, there is no inflation anywhere for now. There's nowhere to be seen. So yeah, your real yield from a South African point of view or from a global investor point of view must be very attractive. And it's probably keeping this 10 year where it is.
Yeah.
Okay, 9.33.5, which is exactly where it entered the trade, is the current yield on the 10-year South African government bond. Okay, the closing prices, the closing indices on the JSE today, please, Nick Kunzer.
Yeah, it was actually not a bad day. Day two of the green, we had the all share up 0.75%, 419 points, 56,248. We had the top 40 up also 0.74%, 379 points higher, just under 52,000, 51,951. And some of the individual indices, financials, they had a good day today also up 0.7%, 167 points up. We had industrials, the leaders, almost 4% up today, 3.84% industrial index. Energy shares having a decent day, bouncing back, and Sasol up 3%. Materials had a good day, 1.12. And on the downside, the lag is technology shares dropping 0.25%, and the utility index was the main lagger, down 1.62%. But okay, overall, not a bad day.
And the volume traded, the value traded, rather?
Bitlin has been back above 20. It is I've got it at 22.8 billion rand value traded.
Okay, and I'm going long of multi-choice, am I? Is that my Tuesday trade? My defensive Tuesday trade.
MCG is the stock code on the JSE.
Okay, and it was what? What was the price?
It's 106.14.
Okay, I have to obviously take the opening price tomorrow, but let's call it 106 for today's purposes. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time this evening. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth, and David Shapiro is the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.